Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the gospel lesson. Jesus passed by, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. And his disciples, who should have known better, said, "Rabbi, tell us, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born this way?" Jesus said, "Neither. This man's blindness is so that I can show what's going to happen when the kingdom comes in." The Jews and the apostles had an idea about how things occur to people. If it's bad, it's because of sin. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. Sin causes misery. It did then, it still does. But they like to equate one sin with one problem. If something happened, it's because you did this or you did that or you did something else. So who sinned? This guy or his parents? Must be somebody did, otherwise he wouldn't have been born blind. I mean, how can you expect somebody to survive who's born blind? They can't see. Well, that's the way they looked on it. Sin results in catastrophe. One sin, one problem. This guy couldn't possibly have not sinned, or his parents, or he wouldn't be in the position he was in. Couldn't possibly be. It couldn't be something that happened at random. It happened so that Jesus could show what he could do and how he did it and who he did it with. So he said he didn't come blind, he didn't become blind because of anything he did. He's there so that I can share with these people what's possible. And then he makes mud out of the dirt, spits in the mud, applies this mud to the guy's eyes, and says, "Go wash in the pool." And somehow he knows how to get to this pool of Siloam, whether he was guided there by somebody or whether he just knew the way. But he took Jesus at his word. And he went and he washed. And when he opened his eyes, he could see. He washed the mud off and he could see. He who had been born blind, he who had never seen anything in his whole life, and it seems that he may have been like 40 years old. He wasn't a young kid. He now sees. His eyes are open. He's able to see. Imagine what he felt when this happened. He couldn't have ever imagined that it was possible for him to see. "I've never seen, I never will see. I have no reason to believe that the chance of me ever getting vision are 100% to zero, and I'm the zero." And yet, this man comes along, and he puts this gunk on my eyes, and he says, "Go and wash," and I do, and I can see. What do I believe? I believe that this guy must be a prophet. He must be somebody from God directly who can do this thing. It appears that maybe, like anybody else would, he'd already gone to all the people in the medical system and they've said, "Sorry, we can't do a thing for you. There's nothing we can do for your condition. You're stuck. You're not ever going to see." But then Jesus sees him, has pity on him, and figures out how to heal his blindness. Mud, saliva, wash, and he can then see. And then the Jews are really unhappy because he did it on the Sabbath. Good God, he healed the man on Saturday. Jeez, you know, that's really awful. You have to keep the Sabbath. You have to do it absolutely the way it's supposed to be done. You can't do any work on that day, period. Nothing. And so when he healed this guy, that was doing work, and he did it on the Sabbath, how can he be one of the good guys if he transgresses the law? Well, you know, things happen for a reason. And it was the Sabbath. And I suspect Jesus was kind of looking to see what was going on. And he came on this man, and he had pity on him, and he did it anyway. Geez, you know, yeah, it was the Sabbath. It was awful. You're not supposed to do that. And he knew it. If anybody knew, on the Sabbath day, you don't do anything. The Sabbath is the day of the Lord. The seventh day after the Lord created everything, he did the seventh, and he relaxed, and he rested, and you're supposed to do the same thing. No work of any kind on the Sabbath. So, the possibility that this man could be healed, this man could be given vision who'd never had it before, been given the gift of sight, which he'd never had, but it was done on the Sabbath. That made it unacceptable. Not that the gift was there, but that it was done on the wrong day and he knew better. He can't possibly be one of us, because if he was, he'd know better than to do this. So you got the problem. The Sabbath becomes a thing that's kind of a millstone around the neck of the Jews, because no matter what you do on that day, unless you sit and do absolutely nothing, you're transgressing the law. And therefore, you're transgressing God. Because God says this is the seventh day. Relax, stay home, do not work, no work is done. They couldn't even cook on the seventh day. They had to cook the day before, have everything ready for the next day, so that they didn't have to do anything. At different times, you'll see places where Jesus intersects the Sabbath, where somebody's complaining because something's done that day that needed to be done that couldn't be done the next day. Now, maybe this could have been done the next day. And maybe he was looking for something that day to do, if nothing other than to call attention to the fact that the Sabbath is for man, not the other way around. Rather than say, oh, I can't do that today because this is Saturday, we'll have to talk about this on Monday. I won't be here, you won't be here, so we won't do it, because that's what the law says. You can't do this kind of stuff on the Sabbath. So there was the heightened division of the Jewish organization that if somebody had something like this happen to them, it must be because somebody sinned. Somebody's the cause of this. This doesn't just happen. Yet Jesus reminded his disciples, hey, what happens, happens because it's supposed to happen. If you look at these things and you put them together, they're because they were intended to happen. That's why he ran into this guy. He was there at that time, and he had a feeling for him, and he did something for him that nobody else could absolutely do. I'm sure he'd asked. I'm sure his parents had asked. They'd looked at the system and asked for help. And the system said, sorry, we can't do anything. He's blind. He's going to stay that way. And he heals him. And he eliminates his blindness and gives him the chance to see, which he's never had. And the Jews are unhappy. I don't know that they're unhappy that he saw, but they're really unhappy that he did it on Saturday. Oh, my God, how could he possibly do it on the Sabbath? Doesn't he know better? Well, he can't possibly be anybody acceptable. Because if he was one of the good guys, he'd know that on the Sabbath you don't do things like this. Maybe you do it other times, but you don't do this. So they'd lost any kind of feeling toward what the gift was and what he'd done for him, and how it changed his life, and they'd replaced it with the fact that he had somehow, in their opinion, transgressed the law. So he wasn't acceptable. After all, if he was a man of God, he wouldn't have done that. He'd have known better. So the disciples are experiencing the presence of Jesus among them as somebody that they're beginning to understand is somebody different. They're beginning to understand that maybe he's the one they're looking for. Maybe he's the one who's got something that the rest of them didn't. Maybe he's better than the prophets. Maybe he can do something about the law. And then he does this. I'm not sure he didn't do it purposely on the Sabbath just to prove to them that the Sabbath was not something that was to destroy, but to give hope. And he gave hope to this man by giving him his sight. So he showed to his disciples that sin and suffering are not on a one-to-one basis. Yes, sin causes suffering. It did then. It still does. The misery that's in this world is probably caused by sin, but not on a one-to-one basis, nor was it then. It was so that he could show that even he had compassion for this person he didn't know, this blind man that was almost out of nowhere, who had no hope. He gave him hope. He gave him sight. And essentially, he gave him his life. And so he gives us sight. He gives us the ability to see what's going on around us and see what the good news is and how it affects us. And he prepares us for Easter by making us go through Lent, where we think about the cross and the cross that was filled, the cross that had a body on it. And the body was Jesus of Nazareth, and that body went through hell and died. It was taken down, and that was seen 3 days later to be alive. It was experienced by those around him for several weeks, where they were sure that indeed he did live, and as he lives, so do we. Peace. Prepare. Lent is better than half over. And we're getting closer and closer to Easter. God bless us with the Easter message. Amen.